Open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 26. Now, we're continuing with our study on protection in a cursed world. We're coming back to that study. I've still got 3 or 4 weeks of it I want to complete because there's a lot in it. Firstly, I want to remind us of a foundational scripture that we read at the beginning of this study. You don't need to turn there, but you can make a note of it. It was in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And it said this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. It didn't say Christ is in the process of redeeming. He says he has redeemed us. So if we're in Christ, if Jesus is your Lord, you have been redeemed from the curse that exists in this earth. It didn't say the curse has been removed. It says you've been taken out of it and you've been removed from its influence. So if you're wondering, well, if we've been redeemed from the curse, how come the world is in such a state? That's the reason. The world isn't free of the curse. We are. But, and I need to say this, protection in this world isn't just automatic. It doesn't just happen because one day you got on your knees and said yes to Jesus. We need to do some things to walk with him because he's made promises to us, which we're going to look at this morning. Okay, first one, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 1. The King James says it this way. Oh, sorry, 26 verse 2. As a bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. So as a bird by wandering, swallow by flying, so the curse causeless. In other words, that causeless means for no reason. It shall not come. The New Living Translation says it like this: like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse shall not land on its intended victim. Okay? So, you know, you hear stories, you've got witches down here and you've got this and they're praying against you. Laugh. No one's going to slap a curse on you if it's unintended. No one. No devil in hell, no witch coven, no one praying against you. No one can slap a curse on you when you're the blessed. Amen? And I want to show you scripturally just how powerful this is. Go with me to Numbers 22 in the Old Testament. Numbers 22. And I'll give you a bit of an overview of the story. Then I want to pick up a few verses because there's a lot in this. But this story is about a man called Balaam and a Moabite king called Balak. And by this stage, you've got Israel have been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and now they're on the east side of the Jordan River preparing to cross over into Jericho and take the promised land. So that's where they are. And this Moabite king, Balak, has heard about what went on with the Israelites and is very concerned if he doesn't do something that they're all going to get swallowed up by the Israelites. So he hatches a plan. You know what? I've heard of a man called Balaam, whoever he curses is cursed, whoever he blesses is blessed. Interesting. He'd heard about it. So he had a bit of a reputation. And of course, let's just go to that verse. If you're in chapter 22, and I'm just going to, it says verse 6. I want to read verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray. Curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot, or I've heard, that he whom you bless is blessed and he whom you curse is cursed. That's what he had heard about this man. So he thinks, well, you know what? I'll send a delegation. And he does. He sends a delegation and he makes some promises to Balak and offers riches and honor and all those good things. Now, Have a look at verse 12. So he seeks God, Balaam. Verse 12, God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are what?
Blessed.
You won't curse them because they're blessed. Very, very interesting. So we keep reading. And we get down to verse 17. Because he says no. And then they come back a second time. And it says this in verse 17. I will promote you unto very great honor. I will do whatever you say unto me. Come therefore, I pray, curse me this people. So they're putting a carrot out. Can I say this? Don't ever be moved by financial gain. Don't ever make a decision based on increase. God is your source, never man. So don't ever make a decision that's going to give you increase but separate you from God. Will allow you to earn X amount on a certain day of the week, but you can't be in the house on a Sunday. This is real. See, the enemy puts traps in place because what he doesn't want is you to hear the word. He'll give you riches as long as you're out of the word. And we'll talk about that at another stage. So he puts out another carrot. And of course, 18, Balaam answers and said to the servant of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of God, the Lord my God, to do less or more. Verse 19, and this one confused me a bit. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here also this night, that I might know what the Lord will say unto me more. And then I got it. I always wondered, why did he seek God further? Because God had already decreed in verse 12, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. He says, stay a night. I'm going to seek God further. This was a test of his heart. Because I couldn't understand, why is it when he sought the Lord said, go with him. And then when he went, the Lord sent an angel with a flaming sword to stop his path. And then it dawned on me, God had already told him what he wasn't to do. But he said, I'm going to seek the Lord to see if there's more. And you know what was motivating him? Money, greed. He wanted possessions. He wanted honor. So he said, I'll just seek the Lord. Look what happens. And God said to Balaam at night, said to him, if the men come to you, rise up, go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you shall you do. Story is, he goes. They go. They all go together. Now on the way, you know there's an angel that stops because that angel should have killed him. Why? Because he disobeyed. I couldn't understand why, Lord, would you say go? The reason why he let him go was of this man's heart. He was greedy for unrighteous gain. But the Lord had already decreed, you can't. So now, interesting, if you fast forward to Deuteronomy 23, go to Deuteronomy 23 in your Bible, the next book. Now, I'm just really trying to reduce this for the sake of time. If you read this story, and you should read Numbers 22, 23, 24, because three times the king of Moab asked Balaam to curse Israel. Three times Balaam blessed Israel. And this is the reason. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 23. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing unto them because the Lord your God loves you. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Can't do it. Don't speak cursed words over God's people. Don't do it because those words will come back. You can't curse what God has blessed. So keeping that in mind, Let's go and have a look at some scriptures that give us a strong sense of encouragement when we're believing God for protection in this cursed world. What's the basis for believing? Because whenever you're believing God, you've got to ask the question, what are you believing and why are you believing it? What's the basis for your believing? You hear people say, I'm believing God. Okay, why? Why are you believing God? Just saying you believe God doesn't mean you have faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. People say, oh, I'm believing God for this. I'm believing. All right, what's the basis for your believing? What are you putting your faith in? Okay, so firstly, go with me to Psalm 23. We're going to really move quickly through Scripture. So you're going to read some, make a note of them. You take time to study them out yourself. But I want us to have a strong foundation and basis for trusting God in a cursed, dangerous world out there. Now, Psalm 23, it's probably one of the most popular psalms to both the righteous and the unrighteous. But verse 4 says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are my rod, you are with me, and the rod of your staff, they comfort me. Now, the reason why David penned this psalm is because God was with him. That's why he chose not to fear. You notice it's a choice of the will to fear not. Often in the Bible, you'll see angels appearing and they'll say, fear not. Fear not. It's a choice. You can succumb to fear or you can rise up against fear, knowing God is with you. If you don't know that, if you don't believe that to be a truth in your life, you're not going to be able to walk in a world which has dangers in it. But not for the believer that puts trust in God. I want you to understand something about the power of the Word of God. It will keep you. Amen. And you're going to see that. All right, another scripture, Psalm 34, 7. Take note of these scriptures. It says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. So those that have a reverent fear of God, not a fear of spook fear, but a reverence of God, the Bible says that the angels are camped around you and that he will deliver them. Doesn't say he's thinking about it, didn't say he might, says he will. He will deliver us. Why? We've got angelic forces surrounding us. Now, if you don't believe that they're angelic forces, well, you've just contradicted the word of God. And we're going to see that in more detail too. Because there are. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not real. In fact, there's an unseen realm that is more real than this realm. Heaven is not a cloud. Where with little cherub angels, heaven has a city in it. It's got dimensions. You can actually measure the dimensions. It's got a wall around it. It's all recorded in the book of Revelation. Heaven's big, very big. And it's physical. The spirit realm is a physical realm, but you and I can't touch it or see it because we're in a non-spiritual realm for now. But one day when we cross over, you'll see it. You'll see it. Amen. I've always said, you know, God is light. So if you can exceed the speed of light, you've probably glimpsed into the realm of the spirit. 186,000 miles a second? I don't know that we'll ever create anything in this world order that will allow us to get beyond light. But God, the Bible says, is light. So is that the separation between the realm of the spirit and the natural? I don't know. But God is light. He said, light be, and it was. So, another one, Psalm 46:1. Have a look at this one. Why do we do this? Because we want to build our faith on the word. That's where faith comes. It says this, God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. If you're in trouble, call on God. Not Ghostbusters. Call on God. We don't go to Ghostbusters. They're not going to help you, but God will. Why? He's an ever-present help when you're in trouble. So if it's a midnight hour that you need God, he's wide awake. ready to go. His angels in the blocks waiting to jump. But they're going to need your words. First words, when you have a crisis, make all the difference. Because they determine whether your angels go or whether they don't. And we'll talk about that too. A lot important here. All right, go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Turn over the next book in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. And can I encourage you, and I often say it, if you're not reading Proverbs every day, you should. It's a great book to read every day when you're having breakfast. Read that day's proverb. Because if you have to race out the door, at least you've got some word in you. Great book. It's wisdom. God's wisdom in you before you walk out the door. Feed your body, feed your spirit. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of our mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. That word keep is to guard. The word will guard you. Wisdom will guard you. Proverbs 18, a few more pages forward. Proverbs 18, chapter 10. By the end of this, you will be very confident in your hearts regarding God's desire to look after us. Because the word is not like man. It doesn't lie. Proverbs 18, 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is what?
Safe.
Safe. That word safe, it's an interesting word. It means lofty, high place, inaccessible. Where are we seated according to the scriptures? In heavenly places, spiritually speaking. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? It's a place where we're not touched. But we have to choose to stay there. So that word safe, lofty, it's a high place, it's inaccessible. That's a good place to be, isn't it?
Amen.
When you've got demonic forces in this earth wanting to do damage to God's people. Now, Proverbs 29. 29 verse 25. 29 verse 25. It says this, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Same meaning. It's the same meaning as what we read before, that inaccessible, lofty, high place. And look at the distinction. If the fear of man is a snare. And the best way to describe that is a big bull with a ring in its nose. And then you take it on a journey as you see fit. That's what that looks like. It's a snare. It's like a hook. That's when you fear man. But when you're trusting God, it brings you to a place of safety. It puts you in a lofty, high place where you're inaccessible. Wow. That's worth shouting about.
Amen.
God is good to us. Let's keep reading. Isaiah. Let's go forward a few books to Isaiah. Two books, three books. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Remember what we read earlier about Balaam and Balak. You can't curse what God's blessed. Can't curse what God has blessed. That's why we need to walk in the blessing.
Amen.
Stay in the secret place of the Most High. All right. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, who's the right hand of his righteousness? Jesus. Jesus is the right hand of his righteousness. Now, I want you to see something here. He says, fear thou not. And then he says, because I'm with you. Can you see it? You know, he said to Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, well, who am I? I can't even speak properly. I'm a stutterer. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And he said, whoa, hang on, Moses. You've missed something here. I'm going to go with you. You're not going on your own. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh and I'm going to give you the words to speak. But you're not going on your own. I'm going to give the grace for you to do what you need to do. And in fact, I'll give you Aaron, your brother, to be your mouthpiece. How often do we think when God gives us a direction or an instruction that we think, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? He said, well, hang on. You're not on your own. I'm going with you. But I need you to do it because you're my hands and feet. You're the body of Christ. You're the church. You're the called out ones, the ecclesia. I'm in heaven, I'm the head. I do have some control over the body. I direct it. But you're the body. You're in earth. I need you to go because you're my hands and feet. That's what the body of Christ is. We're not this, you know, this sort of isolated little group of people that want to have a commune and just sing, you know, songs about loving Jesus. No, we need to be at the coal face of what's happening in the world.
Amen.
The coal face. Why? Because he wants the church to influence this nation. Now, you can see from election results, it's interesting where this nation's going. The church has to rise up. Because, you know, there's an agenda to remove righteousness. But you know what? It's going to fail.
Yep.
It's going to fail. Because the church is going to rise up in this and other nations, and it's going to be a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And he's coming back for a righteous church, a powerful church. We keep doing what God's called us to do, no matter what natural circumstances are. And we resist the devil and he flees because he's going to continue to push against the kingdom of God. But that's all right. We win, he loses because I read the back of the book. All right, I know I'm a bit quick. All right, it goes on to say, I'm with you. It says, don't be dismayed. That word dismayed means don't be discouraged, bewildered or anxious. So many people are anxious. Christians constantly anxious about things. I'm anxious about that. I'm anxious about my family. I'm concerned about my kids. Where's the money coming from? What's going on? Why, God? I'm telling you, that sort of stuff is defeat. And the defeat comes through your words. We're not to be anxious. The Bible says be anxious for no thing. Don't be concerned about anything. Why? He's got it covered. He's already got it covered. You're anxious about tomorrow, yet God's already in your tomorrow. You're anxious. He's not. He's sleeping in the back of the boat while there's a storm. Jesus had no reason to be anxious about anything because he said, let us go over the other side of the lake. He'd already decreed it. His words went out. That's it. Nothing would have sunk that boat. Nothing. Why? Jesus was going over the other side of the lake and he was going to deliver a demon-possessed man. That's why God sent him there. Didn't matter what storm came up. You know what? Sometimes when God says go, you get storms. And people go, whoa, I can't do that. So they stop. They row back to the shore. Don't do that. Don't do that. When there's a press, press into God. Press into him. We've got to keep going, you know. And we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling God. It's a press. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violent and the violent take it by what?
Force.
That's what we do. This isn't for the faint-hearted. You know, Christianity is like special forces. That's what we are. Jesus was a black op. He came in under the radar, did he not? No one knew who he was. He was a black op. He came in. Devil didn't know. The first time the devil knew that Jesus Christ was Lord was when he got baptized in the River Jordan and God couldn't help himself. He broke through and said, this is my beloved son, in him I'm well pleased. And from that day forward, the devil took him on. Read it. Never once did the devil have a go at Jesus until he was baptized in the Jordan. And from that day on, how many times did the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders try to kill him?
Constantly.
When you get on the radar, he'll have a crack. Don't worry about it. You're in the secret place. Don't be dismayed. Fear not. The Lord your God is with you. And we keep reading. I will strengthen you. I will help you. That word help. That word help. Surround, protect or aid you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. To uphold is to grasp, to hold, support or to keep fast. That's what God promises to do for you. That's what we need to put our faith and trust in. Now, go with me to the New Testament, the book of Romans. The book of Romans. I'm going to read this one for the New Living Translations, Romans chapter 8. I want to read from verse 31. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, an amazing book. I would encourage everyone to read the book of Romans from beginning to end. It's an extraordinary book. It's all about God's amazing grace. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Wow, that's a powerful promise, isn't it? If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. But let's go further because, you know, Paul really nails it. And he says this in verse 37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Then he says, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Paul was convinced of that. Amen. Are we? Paul was convinced. Now, if anyone had a reason to be convinced of the love of God, Paul needed to be. That man came under some of the greatest persecution of any believer ever in the history of the church. Now, I know there have been many that have been martyred for their faith and all that. Extraordinary acts of, you know, faith in God. But Paul endured hardships for years and years and years. But he, you know, he goes on, he says, I'm convinced. He was persuaded 100% that nothing could separate him from God's love. God had him in the grip of his hand and no one was going to rip Paul out of the grip of God. Amen. Do you believe that about yourself? Do you beat yourself up because you miss it? We all do that sometimes. But can I tell you, God's interested in your tomorrow more than your failed yesterday. He wants you to keep going. He doesn't want you to drop the bundle because you missed it. You're going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. But we've got grace. Grace allows us to keep walking, even in fire. Remember, God's good is more powerful than our bad. Amen. In fact, God replaced our bad with his goodness. We were sinners. He was righteous. Jesus gave us his righteousness and took on our sin. What an exchange. He goes to the cross, a sinless, righteous man, and when he's on the cross, God places sin on him. Why? For us. And he endures sin on the cross, and it made him grotesque if you study out the book of Isaiah. Sin almost made him unrecognizable in physical form. And if that wasn't enough, then he's ushered into the bowels of hell for 3 days and nights. And he has to pay a price that you and I should have paid for. And even with all that, there's a world out there that says, I don't know about this God. I'm not interested in this Jesus you talk about. Hang on, if you're not, you've got to go there. But he's already done it. Why would anyone want to go to hell today when Jesus has already made a way for us to be free? They are every day. Thousands upon thousands of people leave the earth every day, every couple of seconds. Souls leaving the earth. And many of them are going to a Christless eternity because they don't know Jesus. They're believing that other forms or other God-like entities are going to do it. They believe that if I'm a good person, if I just live a good life, it's all good. No, it's not. Jesus said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, so no man can boast. You know, we get to the pearly gates. God, look what I did for you. And he says, hang on. Did you know my son? No, but I did this, and I had this program, and you know, we baked cakes and we did stalls and we hang on, did you know my son? What do you mean? Did you know my son? Because if you haven't been made righteous, I can't let you in. It grieves my heart that I can't, but if you don't know Jesus, you're not washed. And if you're not washed, you can't get before me because I'm a holy God and I can't have sin in my presence. That's why at Calvary's cross, God couldn't look on his son. You read it. He had to turn. He couldn't look on his own son because he put sin on him so we could be made righteous. He couldn't look on his own son. And I'll tell you, that's the first time since the foundation of the world, since the beginning, that Jesus, the Word, was separated from his Father. Because he had to go to hell alone. He didn't go with the Holy Ghost. He didn't go with Dad. He went on his own. He said, oh, I can do this, Dad. I'll go. Son, it's going to cost you 3 days and three nights in the pit of hell where you're going to be tormented. I'll go, Dad. You understand what this means? And I'm sure the Holy Spirit said, no, Jesus, no, it's all right. You stay, stay. Wait till I come up. Then you can come down on the day of Pentecost. Then you can come down and you take over there. But look, let me do it. It's a bit of a tag team. When I come up and I'm glorified in heaven, then you can go, Holy Spirit, and do what you need to do while the church age exists. That's what we're in now. That's the Holy Ghost that's leading and guiding us. That's the one that's going to tell us to watch out when we're out there. When you're going along a road and you get a witness and you're saying, slow down. Stop. You're at the set of lights and the light goes to green and you feel this. Oh, just wait a moment then. Straight to an intersection of 40 or 50 kilometres an hour is a truck because it decided it was late and wanted to jump the light. That's the Spirit of God that is protecting us out there. But you know what? If you're not in Christ, if you're not spending time in his word, if you're not in church, if you're not letting the Spirit of God speak to you because your tune is not right, you might miss it. And I'll tell you something else. If you're a Martha and you're busy, 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 and all you're doing is busy, 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 there's a difference between faithfulness and diligence. Big difference. You know what faithfulness is? Do this, son. No worries, Dad, but you're doing this. Busy. That's not faithfulness. Don't confuse the two. Diligence is you doing things and keeping yourself occupied. Faithfulness is when the Lord said, I want you to go next door and say this to that person. Yeah, but I'm busy, Lord. I'm baking cakes today. I'm busy. I'm cleaning. I'm busy. I didn't ask you to do that. I wanted you to do this. Busy, diligence, faithfulness is doing exactly what he said to do. Remember what Mary said? Whatever he says to do, do it. Now, there's another message for another day. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. Don't confuse the two. There's a lot of things about church I could be doing, but I'm doing one thing I'm called to do, and that's preach and teach the gospel. Hallelujah. That's it. Unless God gives me another task, that's going to be my sole purpose until I go or he comes back. That's what I've got to do. I can't get busy with programs. In fact, it was the apostles in Acts 6 said, you know, it's not for us to be serving and waiting on tables. We need to be in the Word of God in prayer. Remember that? Amen. Isn't that interesting? That's in the Scriptures. We need to be in the Word of God in prayer. What do these pastors do all day? You know, they get, what do they do all day? What do they do all week? You know what they're doing? They're in the Word and they're in prayer. Yep. That's what we're called to do. That's what we have to do. Spend time in God's word and hear from the Spirit so that we can deliver something. Because if we're not doing that, why would you come? But what happened with church somewhere along the journey is that we turned it into a program. We turned it into a place where we can entertain and lift people up on a platform. There's only one to be lifted up, and who is it?
Jesus.
No one else is worthy of being lifted up. Not me, not you. Anyone who wants to be at the front, anyone who's got a gift in music, come and see me. I'd love to get away from the front and not have to sing. Come and see me if you've got a gift. But you know what? If you're coming up here, don't come up here with an agenda to be lifted up. come up here with a humble heart to be lowered so we can lift the name of Jesus up. Amen. If you've got a gift and a talent, you want to use it, come. Come with the gift. Let the gift manifest so the church can enjoy the gift. But we will never in this church give a place to exalt man. Never. And I know if we stay humble before God, things are going to continue to emerge and doors are going to continue to open as He wills. Amen? Because God is a good God. Amen. All right, I want to keep moving. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's further down after Philippians, after Colossians, you'll find 1 Thessalonians, then keep going to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to read from verse 1 through to 3. It says this: "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." You know, don't confuse that with Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, you know, to all men have been given the measure of faith. No, that's all the men among you. It's the believers. Everyone that's born again by the Spirit of God is given the measure or a measure. It's all the same. What you do with that faith determines how you're going to live. Everyone's given the measure of faith, and it's Jesus' faith. So we don't exalt, you know, ourselves, but look at the faith I've got. No, if it wasn't for Jesus, you and I wouldn't have faith at all. But we've given a measure of faith and we have to grow our faith. Verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." The Lord is faithful. And that word keep is to watch, to guard, or to preserve. And of course, you know, in John 17, 15, you can take a note of it, said this: "I pray that you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil." So when Jesus prayed that prayer before he went to the cross, he was saying, "Lord, I'm not asking that you take these men and women out of the world. I'm asking that you keep them. Keep them from the evil that's in the world." And that's where we are today. And I said that word keep is to watch over or to guard or to preserve them. Hebrews chapter 13. Go a little bit further forward in the book. The last chapter in Hebrews. How are we going? Bit of time? Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read verse 5 and 6. And what my prayer this morning is that these scriptures will really embed into your spirit and give you the same confident assurance that Paul had. Paul said, "I'm persuaded." You know, Abraham was fully persuaded. If you study Romans chapter 4, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had said, he could perform. God said, "You're going to be the father of many nations." He was without a child. He believed it. And out of that believing came Isaac. Out of Isaac came Jacob. And out of that came Israel. And out of that came the line. And of course, we have the church today through Jesus. Why? Because Abraham believed. That's why he's the father of faith, the Bible says. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, his believing put him in right relationship with God. Now, fast forward to today. Our believing in Jesus puts us in right relationship with God. Amen? Amen? Separation, spiritual death, reconnection, spiritual life. Born again. That's what it is. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation," that's your lifestyle, "be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have." Don't always be greedy for things. That applies to all of us. You know, that's what covetousness is, wanting things. They've got it, I want it. What does God say? Because you might get it and it might destroy you, but it may not destroy them. Always remember that. Be careful with that. And it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So he says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And He won't leave us. He won't forsake us, but we can turn our back on him, can't we? We can walk away from him. He'll never walk away from us, but we can turn our back on him. We can turn our back on his loving kindness, his tender mercies. You know, we receive the grace by faith every single time. Whenever we have a need, grace flows when it's through the pipe of faith. And that's how it works. So we must boldly declare just what the scripture said here. The Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do to me. There it is again. We're declaring it. When we've got a press in our situation, the things going on in our lives, we can declare, I'm not going to fear. That's number one. Make a decision. I will not fear. Amen. Why? What can man do to me? Because I'm putting my trust in God. There it is there. It says it. So that we may boldly say, didn't say with timidity, didn't say we come whimpering like a dog to the throne. That's how a lot of Christians are before God. Yet Hebrews chapter 4 verse 6 says, come boldly. Come boldly to my throne. We've got a Father in heaven that says, come. It didn't say come to the gate 1,700 miles from the throne or thereabouts. It's a long way. The heaven's big. So if you want to go to the throne right in the center, you're not knocking on the gates. He doesn't want you at the gates. He wants you at the throne. And not only at the throne, he wants you on his knee. Amen. He says, come, get up on my knee. Come to me. Come boldly. Don't come whimpering. Come with confidence assurance. Now, let me ask you this question. How do you go to God with confidence assurance if you don't know what he said? You can't. But when you know what he's decreed, when you know what he's promised, you go, Father, you said this. I'm taking it. He says, well done, son. Good. Go. Go. Use it wisely. Rather, you know, look, God, I'm so unworthy. Wrong for a start. You know, I've done all these wrong things. Haven't I forgiven you? Didn't I say I'd never remember your sins again? Yeah, but you know, all those things that I've done, how? That's not boldness. And can I say this? You will never receive from God like that. And I'll tell you why. He can't give it to you. Faith pleases God. The only way you're going to receive from God is by faith. And faith is when you saw it and you said, Father, you said in your word. And I'll tell you right now, the day I got revelation that by his stripes I was healed, 28 years ago, I've been healthy for 28 years. And I'm going to be healthy for the next 28. Yep. And you say, oh, gee, aren't you lucky? No. This word is real. It'll keep your body healthy. It says it's life to those that find it and health to their flesh. You read it every day, you're putting a spiritual drip into you. And it'll keep your body well. So this is true. The Bible doesn't lie. But if you get the word and declare, you know, you're right, your word said that I can be well and whole, and you go out and you're talking about your back and your knees and your hair, you know what? Your words are going to condemn you. And they hold you in prison. He says, boldly declare, the Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. All right. Bringing this to a close. There's three scriptures that you can take a note of in relation to angels. And we talked about one of them a couple of weeks ago. You know, Psalm 91:11. And it says, you know, that we can... he will give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Who in this room is an heir of salvation? All right, you've got angels assigned to you. That's it. Use them. Now, what's the best way to use them? Go back to Psalm 103. 103, we bring this to a close. Psalm 103. Powerful psalm, this. Very powerful psalm. I want to read verse 20 and 21. It says, Bless the Lord, ye his angels. So it's saying, angels, bless the Lord. And those angels, they excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Please don't miss that. They hearken to the voice of his word or his command. So what are you saying? Is what you're speaking out of your mouth lining up with the word of God? Because that's going to have an impact on angels' ability to respond. If you're speaking doubt and unbelief, it's all going to go pear-shaped. We're all dead. Well, their hands are folded. I'm serious, people. They're like that. They can't move without your permission. They're ministering spirits. They hearken to the voice of his word. Now, verse 21, bless the Lord, all ye his hosts. That word host is an army of angels, God's war machine that does his will. That's exactly what that's saying. You ministers of his that do his pleasure. That word pleasure is his will. They're a war machine. They're out there operating and they're in their millions. Hundreds of millions of angels are out there. And we think that God can't help us? Come on. Come on. Trust God. See to spiritualize, not naturalize. Spiritualize, you'll see the army of the Lord camped around the hill when a natural army is trying to press against you, and there was more of them, if you study the Old Testament, than there was the natural army. There were more of God's angels than there were an army trying to come against you. The prophet. All right. I want to finish with one thing. I want to just touch on this very quickly. No, the Lord says no. No, I'll leave that. I'm going to finish on that. There is something else there, but he's just constrained me from sharing that for now. I'll pray about that and see why. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, Father, we thank you that we can put our trust in you. Your word is overwhelmingly clear about how and who we can trust. We don't put our trust in man, but we put our trust in you, and we certainly don't fear man, because what can man do to us? Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. We take this word by faith this morning and we make it ours. And Lord, we use this word as a basis to walk safe in a world that's cursed. And we just give you praise and glory and honor, Lord, that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.